It's Great Mondays Radio, a podcast exploring how work is changing in the age of AI. I'm Josh Levine, a transformation executive helping private businesses elevate how their teams operate in an AI-driven world. On the show, I speak with executives, people leaders, and other humans rethinking how decisions get made, how managers lead, and how teams are learning to adapt. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you how. AI is here to stay, and there's a lot of things it can and can't do. One of the interesting aspects is taking on expertise that maybe others have, or even personality, voice, and tone, and how that might be. We're going to explore that and talk with Morgana Brew, who is an expert in the transition between founder sales and first sales hire. She runs a small consultancy out of Hawaii, has a lot of clients, and we were talking about how she uses it to write messages in the voices of her clients. And I thought there's some really interesting philosophical conversations we can have about it. Morgana Brew, thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
Hey, Josh. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk with you today.
All right. So you are, I would say an AI power user. You are basically using AI as you're an executive assistant to automate all the things that are repeatable workflows, blah, 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 blah. It's amazing. But we've all heard about that. I want to get into a little bit of a deeper conversation around the capabilities that AI gives us and what are some of the implications. So tell me about how you are using it to create the kind of language that resonates with your clients.
Yeah, definitely. So when I work with a new client, founders come to me when they're at that point where they're in wall-to-wall meetings, they don't have a time to grow their sales org anymore. They feel like they've hit the ceiling with what it is they're able to do and grow, but they've been in their business for years and years and years at this point. They are the ultimate subject matter expert about what they're doing. So when you try to bring in a salesperson, you just can't capture everything that is in their brain and immediately translate that to a salesperson. They probably also don't have very much documented either because they're running it from their own mind.
That's right.
So founders are these like special creatures isn't necessarily the correct word, but they're like a special type of person. They're a special creator and they come with a level of magic behind how they're saying things. So being able to switch between all the founders that I'm working for.
Yeah.
Is a ton of information in my brain all at once about products that I'm never going to be the subject matter expert in. What I'm really good at is figuring out how to make them sell the product that they are the subject matter expert in. And so AI helps me take the way that they sound and the way that they communicate and develop messaging that still feels authentic to them versus me typing an email that sounds like Morgan.
Yeah.
Trying to pretend that I understand everything about the thing they are the subject matter expert in.
So when you have experimented with this, are you writing a note, feeding it into an AI app, and then and just saying, hey, rewrite this in the voice of X founder?
So no, most of the time I'm not. When I'm having conversations, most of the time I'm running a note taker in the background that's capturing how they explain their product to me. Because when you ask someone inherently to provide writing samples or to explain it to me like you're five or some of these other things that we have used in our AI training, they're ultimately going to change the way they communicate, which takes away that magic of how they like to communicate. So by running an AI note taker and then feeding that into a software that allows it to translate back into messaging that is more formalized, I'm not asking them specifically to explain to me their product. They're just talking about their product because it's what they know and it's what they love.
So what you're doing, it sounds like, is removing that kind of self-reporting feature, right? So when you And this is a function of like, this is a problem with research, right? When you ask someone what their preference is, there's the reported preference and then there's the revealed preference, like what they actually do, right? And sometimes those two aren't the same. Same thing with like, hey, write your voice down. Well, you have to then put on your mind and put in your mind, I'm going to be writing in my voice down. How will I do that? And that's going to be hard to do. So you're essentially allowing the AI to understand the patterns that this person has and how they describe. So it's almost like you're tasking the AI with writing like they would talk. Is that a fair
Correct.
description? Okay. So then take me through your process. What you need to get out a sales message or some message to the organization. Well, I guess that's another question is kind of, are you doing both internal and external communications from the founder since they're the kind of the voice of the company?
It depends on the type of relationship that I have with the company. I do
Okay.
everything from coming in and helping them develop a playbook and then leaving that with them
Yeah.
to actually being a sort of ghostwriter and figuring out who their ICP is or their ideal client profile.
Okay. So when you are writing a sales playbook in their voice, what is your process? Are you I won't even guess. What is your process? How do you use it and like when is it you? When is it the AI?
So the first place that I go is that I want to listen to a sales call that went really, really well and a sales call that went horribly. So if there's any sort of generational knowledge that the company has recorded previously before they even brought me in, I really want to start there. I'm going to listen to it myself, but I'm also going to run it through the AI so that I can see what that AI spits out from its assessment, but then I can go in and tweak it because the expertise that I have is the human side of it. Like, I'm watching on this call. Did someone like wince when they said something? Was there a disengagement? Was somebody checking their phone? And AI isn't going to pick up on all of these tiny little nuances that happened, but they are going to analyze the actual conversation that occurred and possibly pick up on things there that I might have missed when I was looking for the more human aspects behind the call.
So you're prompting, all right, so you're basically both kind of coming in at the same time. AI and Morgan are kind of co-creating this. Before even that step, are you prompting it and saying, hey, write this message, write a message that does these things. I want to get to kind of the brass tacks of it. Write a page for this sales document that, you know, is a sales call, is a thing. Is that where you're starting, or are you giving it more context? Like you would start writing it. What is your process?
I feed it whatever is currently created. So if there is already a one pager, if there is already things that exist, I give it that to start with. That will be the knowledge base that it'll be able to build whatever I ask it for. So let's say I'm starting a new email campaign. I will have given the AI access to what previous emails looked like, any sort of one pagers, status updates, anything about the company that it could use as relevant information. But then I will give it a very specific prompt. Write me a 5-day sequence that is going after this specific person that has this sort of social selling signal that can be delivered after this specific event. I want to get really, really granular behind it so it can create that email sequence that I can go in and tweak. I almost never launch a sequence that I haven't gone in and edited, but by using the voice of the founder from all of that information that I fed with the AI, I'm removing a little bit of the Morgan behind how I develop that email. Then I'm tweaking it to be just more personable rather than trying to make a voice that sounds like Josh or sounds like my other founders.
What does success look like? Do you see like better uptake, more compliance? Like if it sounds, I mean, what is the difference between before you had AI and after? I mean, before I imagined were you trying to emulate the voice and you just didn't do as good of a job?
Yeah, before I had AI, I was drafting emails to try to sound like other people, but it was a lot of back and forth. I wasn't
With
able
that
to.
person to say, like, here's what I drafted. Does this sound like you?
Yes, and does this feel like what you want to sound like? Does this feel genuine to you?
Yeah.
Where now I still go through that process and still definitely loop my founders in before we email anything out, but they receive it a lot faster. Like the first draft is given to them a lot faster. And most of the time, the compliance behind what their voice sounds like in the emails that are sent over to them in the first draft is much higher.
And as far as the result, the resulting kind of what you were trying to get at, like, do you see, certainly the founder's like, oh, great, my little baby looks more like me. But are you actually seeing, does it, I mean, maybe at some point it doesn't matter, right? So if you have a company of 500 people, you don't expect, like, unless it is a specifically, like, I don't know, Cliff Bar, where it's like, my father was the cliff that this is named after, right? Like, then it's, you know, but if you're just kind of an organization that doesn't have that founder voice as part of the brand voice, it doesn't matter as much anymore, right? At some point, it kind of moves away.
The brand voice doesn't matter as much, but you could shift your prompting slightly and say, here's a list of the most successful emails that have been sent out from a company. Generate me a 10-day sequence that is only using the most successful messaging that you'll have from other signals. Like, was it open rates? Was it reply rates? What was the most successful subject line? You can continue to iterate on what has worked based off of the success that's been seen in the past, not necessarily just the voice.
Yeah. What's interesting is this, I feel like this methodology has been going on for a long time at the C-suite level. So I certainly know some of my clients and experiences, right, where you have someone who is a chief of staff or an executive admin, and they basically say, I'm going to write this letter from the CEO and, you know, essentially put their name to it. And they may or may not go to the CEO to approve it. So I think one of the trends that I'm observing with AI is that we are, it's not that that may, you know, those people may still have those personal assistants, or those personal assistants might use AI, but what this is enabling is even small or businesses, right, where you're taking these organizations from, you know, a small number where it's the founder doing the sales to a larger number, you're essentially giving them that ability to have that expert replicate their voice. So you're saving them time and you're improving your efficacy. Is that a fair assessment of that problem or that solution?
I think that's completely fair. And then specifically people like myself that are fractional that are working across multiple different industries with multiple different founders, I'm not going to be able to necessarily keep all of the information about all of these different industries in my brain at any given time. My expertise is in sales and how people respond to sales and the human aspect behind that. I'm not going to be an expert in this very niche technology. And that's where I want your voice to really come in and shine. And that way, my expertise can come in and truly take that sale that you've been doing at this founder-led sales level and get it to a point where you are able to bring someone in to be able to run the process. But until you know what is working and what's not working, you can't document the process, so you can't delegate the process.
So you're training up an app to learn not just what the I mean, there's sort of this inherent, the founder, like you said, unique kind of creatures, they have something that is working. And so it is their voice, right? So we're talking about tone, but really what we're talking about is kind of like, what's the best way to sell? And maybe eventually it evolves away from that, and that AI is learning along with you. And that means you can, well, I guess this is the question. Do you hand off that expertise when they've basically are like, thanks, Morgan, we're on to the next thing? And like, you give them that AI, is that you give that to them?
Yeah, I give them all of the finished results so they have access to be able to continue to develop out their sales team. But ultimately, my main goal is for them to be able to hire someone that's going to be able to use the playbook that we generated together and then have that founder only as involved in the sales process as they want to be.
Right. Okay, so you're able to take on more work. I mean, you could potentially then, if we take it further out, give that AI to someone else on your team. Then you can say, write the read this, do this. This is the process. The AI is going to guide you. So it's almost like it's putting on more, providing more skills to someone who might just come in and be, a good writer, not a great writer. Is that, I imagine that is like, I guess that's the model either for what you're doing or for what the client is doing, right? They're bringing in a sales lead that's going to have that capacity. And that means they can bring in someone that is not as talented, which is not as expensive, or they don't need to bring someone on as quickly.
Exactly. Or they can handle more bandwidth with the same amount of people that they have currently.
Yeah, right. So then we're getting into kind of like the talent, the AI destroying talent need in the market. Let's get into some of this sort of potential problems with this. I think some of the scams that are around or in around replicating people's voices, either in hearing, whether it sounds like it or, it's written like that. Are you seeing, from your vantage point, are you seeing any other issues that are emerging when we're thinking about how do I learn about this person, right? What can AI do learning about this person, either from inside the company or outside the company, taking on someone else's voice and maybe using it, maybe not even using it for nefarious reasons, right? But like, I'm just interested in kind of what this capacity, what this new opportunity, or skill is going to allow us to be able to do. And in this case, what are the negative possible externalities?
Yeah, I definitely think that there are possibilities of negatives. And I think that if all of us had crystal balls, wouldn't we want to look forward and see like what that could be? But I think mostly that AI is allowing workers to be more creative and do more work that they are excited about versus spending their time doing work that they're not excited about. Because people don't outsource the things that they really love doing and love developing. People are outsourcing and using AI to kind of offload tasks within their day-to-day that they don't want to be the one that's managing, or maybe they don't have the capacity to bring someone on to help with.
Yeah.
But even just within myself, I've seen there are AI tools that could do some things that would support me in my own business, but I meet someone, have a conversation with them, and they're really excited about what they do to be able to help with that solution. And then that's the person I hire because I want there to be minds that are working in conjunction with me that are doing the work they're the most excited about.
Yeah.
But to your point about people doing nefarious things with voices that have been trained, it's definitely a risk. But all of the clients that I work with know that this is something that I'm doing in the background. So no one's being kept in the dark
Yeah.
about me doing that. I think everyone knows that there's AI that's recording us almost anytime we hop on a call.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that exists.
Does every CEO want to look at what you've done? Like, do you have any scenarios where you've built enough trust where they're like, okay, just run with it. I don't need to see this anymore.
You'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, but almost all of them just say, go for it. Like, I hired you because I trust you. I work with you because I trust
Even
you
from the get-go, huh?
from the get-go. Because people come to me when they're underwater. People come to me when they're really overwhelmed and they need help building something that's going to be sustainable. Because what they're doing right now isn't.
Is it possible that there's something that the AI writes that you don't catch that, is making a promise the product doesn't sell, or even just stating it in the wrong way? What are the legal liabilities, right? If they're not looking it over, maybe they have somebody else looking it over. I'm not sure, right? Like, is that a possibility? Because you can't catch everything. I mean, you are looking it
Yeah.
over, but now we just said you've got more clients. So, it could be there and you just don't realize it, right?
Yeah, ultimately, any new campaign and new messaging does get sent back to my clients to be able to review. But I'm also developing all of the messaging based off of things that were either previously developed or conversations that we've had directly. So there is a chance that something comes through
I
and
mean,
is
AI
not
hallucinates, right?
correct.
Like AI hallucinates. Like, and you could assume, hey, it's got this feature. You can be like, I don't remember that. Like, it doesn't pop in my head, but right? Like, that's a possibility.
You're right. It is a possibility. But the I specifically use softwares that do not hallucinate to be able to develop out the messaging. They're only pulling things specifically from statements that have been either fed to it or given to it in the form of a resource.
That's compelling. Okay, I'm going to admit something to you that I haven't admitted publicly yet about my AI use, which is that I run a Substack called The Job Shit Show, and I am experimenting with using Claude to write some of these articles. Now, writing is something that I do enjoy, and creating is something I do enjoy, but the pace just wouldn't be possible if I didn't have that. And I have a couple, I have a couple strategies. I'm not asking it to create it out of nothing, but I'm a little torn, right? And I'm kind of experiencing this, like what you said, right? People don't give up what they want to do. Well, in this case, it's a little bit of a different shade because I'm able to do, and I get a lot of joy out of putting it out there, and I'm getting a lot of good feedback. So I'm able to do, like, would I be without AI able to write a weekly article? No, I couldn't do that. So it is helping me do more of what I like to do, but not the entirety of like starting from a blank page. And so I want to kind of express that in a sort of way of saying, okay, we're using this in new and interesting ways, but I don't. It's like it's not that it's not going to be doing the creative or the things we like. It's just going to maybe help us do more of it, I guess, is another way to think about it.
Yeah. One thing that my husband and I have operated under for a very long time is everyone has time for whatever they want, always, full stop. And it's just what you prioritize is what you're going to make the time for. So for you, from what I'm hearing, it seems like what you love the most is the editing and crafting of that like final product is what brings you the most joy to be able to put out this Substack. So, using a tool to be able to help draft that middle messy in between part doesn't take away the fact that you're still putting out a weekly newsletter. It doesn't take away the fact that you still love the final product that you're putting together. It just disappears or like erases some of that messy middle from your task load. So,
Yeah.
you can do other things that you love.
Well, here's the other issue that I wonder if you're facing as well is the sort of the what I've heard referred to as kind of the flattening of the tones. Like there's just a lot of AI writing that is very similar and kind of anodyne. Are you with the tools that you're using, and we'll get into what tools you're using, but with the tools you're using, you're saying, oh, it doesn't hallucinate, it just pulls. Because you've sort of asked it to write in this voice, do you find that you need to go in and punch it up or challenge it, like smack down the AI and be like,
Yeah.
no, that shit's boring.
Because I'm having weekly conversations with my founders that I'm working with, there's constantly new verbiage that is being fed to the AI. It's not the exact same phrasing because you could explain Great Mondays Radio to 100 different people, and you're going to explain it probably 85 different ways, where it's still the same great explanation of what it is that you're doing, but it's just going to be phrased slightly different ways. So by giving it more information and on this like weekly rotation, it constantly knows how to continue to develop and continue to evolve. And there's always going to be a human in the loop in my process. I'm always going to be reading through it. I will read it out loud. I will email it to myself sometimes to see how it looks when it comes through. Like there's different tips and tricks you can do to make sure that it doesn't look flat. But there's definitely an aspect online right now of it's AI commenters on LinkedIn responding to AI written posts with AI managed profiles. And like, what's the point at that point? Like, what is the point?
Yeah, quantity over quality is, I think, the next phase that we're going to be facing in kind of our marketing world, right? Like, it's we're going into the sort of sloppification of business communications. So, I think your position in this role is interesting because you are not trying to replicate, but trying to improve the communications in a thoughtful way, as opposed to just like set it and forget it, right? Like posting every, like, I don't know, like whatever, like I'm gonna post every hour, like just get a bot to fucking do that. Like, I don't, it's like, so I just think that there's something interesting about what you're doing that makes it more authentic. Okay, one last question for you, specific question, and then we'll get into tools, which is, would you ever change the message, the thing that you're writing to improve the founder's voice? Like, to like, if you think the founder isn't do like they're not all, I mean, they're all amazing in some ways, but I don't know that they're all amazing salespeople. Like, would you change something even if it wasn't something that they said?
Yeah, of course. Because the point of bringing me in is to figure out how we can continue and transition from the founder being the only person running sales. So if they're saying something that's like, I've worked in this industry for 47 years, a 20-something you've hired out of college that's running the sales org once you hire them on is not going to be able to say they've been in this industry for that many years.
Right.
So there's that part of it. But then there's also founders are not always the best salespeople, to your point. So positioning things slightly differently, shifting how things are phrased is all part of what it is that I do and develop, and why I can't just feed everything the founder said into an AI, develop out an email sequence, and launch it. Because the founder is probably going to be missing a little bit of the nuance behind the sales engine.
Do you have that? Do you make that clear up front? I mean, do you have that explicit agreement? Hey, like, we're going to do our best to replace, re replicate your voice, and it's a message from you, but there, we're going to change things, some of the things that you're saying.
It's an ongoing conversation that I have with founders. So it's not necessarily I come in, build a playbook completely in a silo and then hand it back over to them. A
Yeah.
lot of it is almost like sales therapy, if you think of it that way. I'm
Oh,
working
I
really closely with
totally
my
get that.
founders.
Yes.
So we're deep in conversations and I understand the why behind what it is that they're doing and how they're doing it, because it doesn't matter if I hire a carbon copy of a founder to run the sales org after we've gotten things set up and running. If I give them the title of SVP of sales or sales lead, and the founder walks into a room and the sales lead walks into a room, and they, other than that, are the exact same person, that salesperson is going to walk into the conversation automatically at a disadvantage than the founder, because a founder is having a conversation that is peer-to-peer.
As the founder, yeah.
Yes. So of course, I'm going to have to change the messaging from whatever they're saying, because inherently, the person that's going to take this over is going to come at it with a different status.
Yeah, I guess that's the premise of the whole, the premise of the promise, right? Like, that's what your
Yeah.
value proposition is. All right, so give me your one killer AI tool that you're using in this.
I'm obsessed with Little Bird. It watches what's going on in your screen, and especially for fractionals or people that are managing a bunch of different clients, it helps me keep things organized and straight that no balls get dropped. Everything that's a deliverable for clients gets sent over to them when I said that they needed to. It sends me daily morning reports of what I'm going to need to get done that day to stay and execute against timelines that I'd promised. And honestly, it'll also message me at like 7 p.m. and say, "Hey, why are you still here? Like, close the laptop. It's time for you to log off for the day. It's time
Amazing.
for you to walk away." I'm obsessed with the tool. I think it's incredible. You can ask it questions like, "How do I optimize my week? When are my best focus work times? What have I forgotten to do?"
Crazy. Amazing. Morgan Abreu, founder and CEO of Malia Strategy, expert into the transition between founder sales and first sales hire. You can learn more about her on LinkedIn. You can find her, Morgan, Morgan Abreu, Abreu. Thanks for coming on Great Mondays Radio. It was really, really interesting.
Yes, thank you so much, Josh.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest on our program, head over to radio.greatmondays.com and fill in the application. Have a friend you think would find this episode interesting? Send it to them. And while you're at it, rate and review. It really helps. I'd love to connect. Send me an email, josh@greatmondays.com. And if you're interested in learning more about how I help private businesses elevate how teams operate in an AI-driven world, check out greatmondays.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.